Is seeking acceptance a good thing? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Becky Adams, who never felt accepted growing up, so she sought it elsewhere and found trouble in her life.
I think everyone wants to be accepted. And for me growing up, when I'd go to school, because I ended up going to 18 schools total.
Wow.
So as an elementary school student or junior high, I was pretty popular because I was the new girl. But in high school, it became a little more difficult because I blended in with all the other fish in the sea, you know?
Yeah.
And so I could start to feel that desire of wanting to be accepted. And how am I going to get to know people and be accepted when I don't know a lot of people from the past?
Yeah, that must be cool, you know, to feel popular all the time, because I was always kind of the nerd. I was always seeking acceptance. I sought it so much that I was so good at getting along with every single group. I would get along with the preppies, with the jocks, mm-hmm. with the nerds, with whoever. But, you know, I was always trying to seek acceptance. I would do and say whatever it took to get acceptance. And I think some of us who might be listening might be saying, gosh, you know, I really struggle with that. I struggle with needing that acceptance to the point that I just don't want to say or do anything that could get rejection.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't want to ruin friendships or say anything wrong because, you know, they want that acceptance. And I understand that feeling. And I think we all can struggle with wanting to feel accepted.
You know, but that's really tough. And it's kind of a life of bondage, though, because here you are just always walking on tiptoes mm-hmm. to try to, you know, be accepted. But then it just constrains on you being you mm-hmm. or thinking independently. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so for me, what really happened when I became a Christian, I understood that God accepted me. And when I understood that God accepted me, I just didn't really care anymore mm-hmm. that people would reject me. Actually, Jesus says, people will deny you. Don't yeah. deny me, but people will reject you as yeah. they've rejected me. And, you know, I mean, the Bible even says in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, it says, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Like, you know, who cares about being accepted by everybody? Not everybody's going to accept you. But good news, Christ has already accepted you, so we can accept one another.
Mm-hmm. And when we find out who we are in Him by reading the Bible, seeking the Lord, and we know, hey, this is who I am, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. We don't have to put on any bells and whistles to make ourselves better or act a certain way. We can be who we are, and people will find that they love us just as we are. And if they don't, then that has nothing to do with us, because like you said, we have the Lord. We're accepted in the Beloved, the Bible says. And if God accepts us, who can reject us? If they do, it's okay. I'd rather have God on my side than a million people who are with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's way more important. And we're going to hear from Becky right here after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by FA79 and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. FA79 serves delicious Vietnamese pho noodle soup, along with many other authentic Vietnamese selections. They've received Denver Magazine's Top of the Town Award and were voted Best Vietnamese Restaurant by the Denver Dining Guide. Make plans now to dine at FA79, located at 781 South Federal Boulevard in Denver, or call them at 303-922-2930. That's 303-922-2930.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th Hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th Hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Becky Adams, and she's going to share with us how she grew up in a pretty legalistic church, and through that, she felt like she was never enough in life, and she had a lot of abuse that she went through and just really saw God as an angry God. So let's welcome to the show, Becky. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. So I understand that it was really hard for you growing up in this legalistic church. And with that, you had a hard time really knowing the love of God through seeing even your own father. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. By all appearances, we were the perfect family. My father was well-respected in the community. He was teacher and coach. My mom was a hairdresser early on, but then became a singer and pianist. And I was the oldest of four kids. So we went to church every Sunday, but it seemed at home there was nothing there. The only time we prayed was over food. There just wasn't a real strong spiritual foundation in our home. Mm. Didn't have a good godly influence around me. Mm. And church was more like a checklist every Sunday. It was very routine. And, you know, everybody seemed perfect. It kind of had the feel of almost like a Stepford church. Like everybody was great, everybody was fine, but nobody had any struggles or problems.
Mm. Wow.
I think I was 26 years old before I ever even heard of a testimony.
Wow. So I know as you were younger, unfortunately, because of the treatment you received at home and because of your lack of feeling accepted, there was certain things that happened to you. Can you tell me about that at 12 years old?
Yes, ma'am. I was 12 years old, and of course, I hadn't had that Facts Alive talk. We were kind of sheltered, you know. My parents were very careful about what we watched on TV and things that we were exposed to. Morally, we were very, you know, moral family, very upright. But because of that innocence, I never knew what a pedophile was. I did not know that I was being groomed for what happened to me at 12. Mm. This gentleman started wooing me. He was an older boy that I knew. He wasn't a stranger. He was somebody that came into my circle and kind of started paying me a lot of attention, giving me gifts. He would actually seek me out, even up at my school, you know, because we had an open campus back then. Mm. So he would give me little gifts, but it was all a game to me. It was secret. And then one weekend, I was in the night with a friend, a school friend. He found out where I was located and drove by and asked me if I wanted to get in the car with him to go for a ride. And I was excited. You know, I was like, yeah, I'll go for a ride. You know, we'd go out driving past the lake. And I wasn't even thinking that that could change my life forever the way it did, but I was right. And when my family found out, or my parents, instead of the usual things that are supposed to happen to a victim of rape, it was never reported. I never received any kind of counseling. It was just kind of all swept under the rug. Mm. And I was blamed. I actually had to read a statement at the church the next Sunday and be rebaptized.
Wow.
That was just very traumatic because it kind of marked me in people's eyes. Even though they didn't really know what had happened to me, it changed me. I started becoming introverted. I put up walls. I was afraid to get too close to people. It affected everything in my life. Mm. And I'm 51 years old now, and it still affects me. But by the grace of God, He's working on healing me through this past year. And that's something that now, with it being part of my testimony, God gives you the strength to talk about it.
Right.
Well, at this time, you didn't think of God in a good way, actually, at 12. You were mad at God. You blamed Him. You had a lot of shame. But this opened the door for you to start trying to find relationships. And you felt damaged already. So here you were going out and meeting with people, trying to fill that void. Tell me about that.
Yes, I actually married right out of high school, about a year after I graduated high school. So I married very young at 19 and had two children. It wasn't a good marriage. I knew I had made a mistake, came from kind of a wild family. And I knew he had a temper, but I never saw it directed at me until our honeymoon. The first time he hit me was on the way home from our honeymoon. And he had changed the radio station for the first time without permission. Mm. That was pretty traumatic, and from there it just kind of escalated. You know, that combined with alcoholism and things, it just got very abusive. And I probably would have stayed with it because my self-esteem was so low at that point in time. And I was so desperate for love from anyone that I just would have stayed with him had I not had children. I had these beautiful babies, And the babies were what saved my life. I mean, it just gave me the strength to try to want something better for them.
Yeah. And even at that time, I know that there were certain people who were trying to keep you in the church. Even though you were going through that, they didn't want you to even divorce this guy who was abusing you and almost killing you.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. In fact, he did go to prison for 5 years for his second wife for assaulting her and had a child with her 5 months after my daughter was born. So that was a very painful time in my life.
Yeah. And it didn't end there. I mean, it's just like one thing after another. And then your mom died. And here you felt like, you know, and you remarried a guy who left you, cheated on you and left you. It's like, how bad can it get? And here you were attempting suicide, but felt like somehow God stepped in because you were panicking.
He did.
Yeah. Tell me a little about that.
That was shortly after my mother died, and I had married a third time, a man that I thought was the perfect man. He even started going to church with me, and we were baptized with my kids, but he turned out to be married. I found out that he had been married the entire time.
Oh, gosh.
So he disappeared. He disappeared.
Wow. That's horrible. You know, there are people listening who are like, my gosh, this sounds like it's a soap opera, but it's one of those that just keeps getting worse. And you just were so alone at this moment in your life, even felt like God was against you, that he hated you and he wasn't happy with you. And you just felt like you were just never enough. And there are people listening who feel like they're just not enough. They feel like God can't love me. I've been through so much. I've been traumatized. I've been abused, you know, but there is hope, because Becky, something changed your life, and we're going to talk about it on our next show, but we're going to pray for those who are holding on right now and listening to the show and saying, where's the hope? Because we do have hope for them. God bless you, Becky. We'll hear you on our next show.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you know, when you hear these stories of real life happening, but not good life, bad life, from one bad thing to the next, always feeling shameful, always feeling not enough. And I sense there's someone listening right now, and you're saying, I don't know if I'm enough. I keep going from one thing to the next, and it's like I go from one bad situation to another bad situation. So, Father, I'm just praying right now for someone who's listening and saying, maybe that's me, that we'd be able to find a newness, maybe a healing, to realize that through you, we've been made good enough, and that for you and how you look at us, we are good enough for you. So, Lord God, we call upon your name, and we're asking you to really show us how much you accept us and to reveal to us so that we know, so we're not continually looking for acceptance of mankind, because that always is a snare. So, Lord Jesus, we want acceptance from you, the main safe place, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And the Bible says, yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were perfect, but while we were doing things or when things were happening to us, he loved us that much. He loves you. Call out to him and he will bring you hope and peace. You're listening to Real Life.